Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. And new this week, we'll get to some fantastic Nebraska ball talk. I just got to tell you, we did some updates for the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm excited. Even more ways now for you to find not just the Five Heart Podcast, but Nerd United, which is my other show for if you're a nerd like me and like comics and all that, you know, goofy, fun stuff. And I say fun, you might say goofy, whatever. If you like pro wrestling, there's my 1-2-3 cents. And if you are trying to find some positivity in the world and a more upbeat outlook on things, I encourage you to listen to Positive Cynicism. But not only are they all available on iTunes and Stitcher, as they have been, but just this week I finally realized there's got to be more outlets, and there are, and they're easy to access. So Google Play and Podbean, you can check out all of the all these shows on all four of those services, whichever one is your favorite, and let us know in comments or social media. Let us know how you find the Five Heart Podcast and any of these shows on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko. I think I said that. If not, I apologize for overlooking the obvious. And joining me from Corn Nation this week, talking that Nebraska ball that we are enjoying at this moment, David McGee. David, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
So let's talk about it. One regular season game. It's a home game. It's going to be a no-sit Sunday. Penn State is coming to town, but there's a lot of positivity, as we mentioned, you know, just a moment ago, and being upbeat. There's a lot of reasons to be upbeat about this Nebraska team.
No question about it. They had a little hiccup last week against Illinois, but other than that, I mean, you've seen them play well for an extended period of time now, and they needed it because without it, they're not in the conversation, and we're not having this conversation right now either. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch them develop and turn into a competitive bubble team.
Earlier in the
week, depending which bracketologist you ask, of course.
Right. And earlier in the week, after that Illinois game, Patrick and I talked. It was a Monday show. And, you know, just talked about that game against Illinois. Didn't play very well, some poor decisions down the stretch in particular. And I think it might have even been the featured picture that I used for the post was Glenn Watson Jr. making a rushed, a hurried three attempt in the closing minutes. And it was a miss, and it was a really waste of a possession. I really thought when you turn the page to the Tuesday night game at home against Indiana, I really thought that not just Watson, but everybody played much better, and you had to because that was a streaking Indiana team, and even though they're not really playing for as much because they're down a little bit this year, you know, they had won, I think, four in a row, something like that, and were playing some really good basketball, have some, of course, it's Indiana basketball, so it's got that. You know, when you think of top programs in the Big Ten, you know, historically, Indiana's certainly in that conversation. And they have some tremendous players on their team. Just, you know, what Nebraska was able to come out and do, you know, even though they trailed at halftime, they came back and really put on a nice second half performance.
Certainly. That first half of basketball against Indiana was some of the ugliest basketball I've seen all year. Both teams, neither one were great. It looks like the Huskers were coming off of a little bit of a hangover effect from the Illinois game. They looked like they were maybe a little tired. And then they settled for a lot of threes, which when Nebraska's settling for threes, they're not a very good basketball team, as evidenced by the Illinois game. We can talk about that some other time. But somebody got after him at halftime and said, knock it off, stop shooting threes. And then after the second half, you know, they looked like the team that we were hoping to see. They looked like an NCAA tournament team. They really controlled the whole second half, the whole thing, I thought, and put up really an effort worthy of of NCAA tournament team. So it was good to see them respond from the Illinois loss and add another win to the column. It would have been completely devastating if they had lost to Indiana. So it was good to see them bounce back from that and continue on their winning ways. So hopefully that continues again on Sunday.
And it's important to note that Nebraska, correct me if I'm wrong, because I can't remember if they tied you know, their previous mark for most conference wins, or if they've survived. I know where they
tied it.
They're tied. Is that just wrong? But they have, correct me if I'm wrong, this season they have more Big Ten wins than any other previous year?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
it's the Nebraska's record for wins in the Big Ten, certainly, but all time, I believe it's tied for, I think it's two other teams that have won 12 conference games in a season.
What you mentioned just a moment ago when you're talking about the Indiana game, you said that somebody, you know, got on them at halftime, because they did. They came out that first half, as you mentioned, both teams played real sloppy, lots of turnovers, helped keep the score down. I mean, you can chalk it up to, you know, stellar defense, if you will. But I think, like you said, just overall the effort from both teams was maybe not so much the effort, but maybe trying too hard to do too much, you know, forcing bad shots, things like that. But as you mentioned, they come out in the second half looking like the team that we've, you know, gotten used to over the last 6 weeks or so. And you said that somebody in that locker room at halftime, you know, made the case, you know, chewed some ass, whatever it was. When you look at this team, you take we mentioned his name before, Glenn Watson Jr. He's kind of the elder statesman. He's the one who's been, you know, with him. Isaiah Roby's another one. But then you have the transfers coming in who have really bolstered this team. So who would you say, if you had to pick one guy in the locker room or one, you know, whose team is this? You know, a lot of times in the pros you hear, you know, they've got that one superstar who's the clubhouse or the locker room leader. When you look at this team, David, who is that person who would be the guy saying, you know, kind of rallying the troops, if you will?
That's a good question. I mean, as far as like on Tuesday when at halftime, I'd imagine that was, you know, Coach Miles or Coach Lewis or someone say, guys, that's not the game plan. Get back on, you know, the game plan and get back on the, what we talked about doing. As far as like whose team is this? I mean, they go as Palmer and Watson go, I think, you know, even if, when Watson's not scoring, when he's playing hard on defense and when he's putting his teammates in positions for success, this team plays well. You know, they don't need him to score like maybe they did last year.
He's a good driving dish guy.
Yeah, for sure. And so when he's doing some of those little things, even when the shot's not falling, I think they're a really good basketball team. And then Palmer has just turned into, you know, maybe if he had started a little bit earlier, he would be in the conversation player of the year. But he's playing like a first team Big Ten basketball player right now. I mean, if you look at his progression over the last, I don't know, month of the season to a month and a half, he's as good as anybody in the conference outside of the Penn State game, last time they played. So, you know, those two guys are really the catalyst that I think drives the team. I think the heart and soul of the team is Taylor. He does so many little things. He's in the middle of all of those little plays that nobody really acknowledges a lot of the time. He'll hit a shot to end a run or to keep another team from going on a big run. He'll make a steal. He'll get a big rebound. He'll do a lot of those things that, when you look back and say, you know, the big play in the game was when Evan Taylor made that steal with 7 minutes left to go in the second half, right? And turn and stem the momentum. So he's in the middle of all this. He had one against Wisconsin, I think it was against Maryland, where they missed a free throw. Maryland missed a free throw, and he scrapped with Kevin Herter from Maryland to grab the rebound and basically put to bed any thoughts of Maryland's comeback effort, which they were right in the middle of doing. So, I mean, I think as far as the wins and losses go, it's Watson and Palmer. You can make a case for Copeland or Roby or a couple of other guys too, but I think it's those guys. But I think the heart and soul of this team is Evan Taylor.
And I'm not disagreeing with you at all, and sure. what you said about, you know, his
you're effort. Welcome to disagree with me. I'm not a bad approach here.
No, I because I like Evan Taylor. That's the thing. This team is they're all so easy to like. What they've done on the court,
right,
and what they've done off the court, you know, especially in some of the recent turmoil that has, you know, been on campus and things like that, and how they have been. I don't, for lack of a better term, a beacon of positivity. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about more so on the court at the moment. Isaiah Roby, who you mentioned just a moment ago,
Yeah. The
little things that he has done. If you go back, especially mm-hmm. to that Indiana game, some of those tip out, you know, rebounds. I don't think mm-hmm. they count as rebounds to him because he didn't come down with the
right.
ball. But they helped keep a possession alive and. You know, they were able to turn those into points. You know, I think 7 points off of, you know, three, you know, essentially tip, you know, rebound tips or things like that in the first few minutes of the game. That helped Nebraska build a lead, which, you know, they would need. Where they were at halftime without, you know, some of those second chance opportunities, they might have been down double digits, you know, things like that. And that can be a little bit more of a demoralizing factor. So the fact that he was just able to keep his head and keep the ball on the plus side of the court there was a big thing. And plus, he has been playing better offensively and getting more points mm-hmm. ever since he became that five man. He's had what I think, you know, might be his turnaround or the turning point season that we needed him to have or hoped he would have maybe earlier in his career. But he's, I think, really put it together this year.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, he's scored in double figures in 6 out of his last 7 games, setting career highs twice in that, you know, in that stretch. So he's become just an absolute beast. I think he's become almost elite rebounder. He's not quite there yet, but he's become, you know, when he gets his hands on the ball, no one's taking it from him. It's his, you know. And we have guys who are bigger and stronger than him who that's not the case. And so, I mean, he's the best rebounder on the team. Before, if those tip outs counted as rebounds, he would have had a double-double.
Oh, sure.
He had 9 rebounds against Indiana and probably should have had, you know, if those tip outs counted, it would have been like 13 or 14. So, but he had 3 straight double-doubles coming in. He's had 8 of the last 10 games. For 9 of the last 11 have been 10 or 8 rebounds or more. So, I mean, the guy has turned into a complete player. He's blocked a ton of shots. And I'm going to guess he's looking quickly at the numbers. So I'm going to guess he's the second leading assist guy on the team. So, let me see if I can verify that. But, I mean, the guy's just a complete player. Absolutely. And so that's why I said, I mean, you can make a case for Roby as being that guy. But he's, I mean, his emergence at all where we are without him.
What I like about him, he plays so much bigger than, you know, he actually stands. The one thing that I always remember, and this is probably more, you know, old wives' tale than fact, and I think, you know, basic, you know, measuring tape would be able to prove it. But I was always taught, you know, that your wingspan equals your height or you know, mm-hmm. but the announcers were saying, you know, Kugler, I believe it was, who was on that team Tuesday, you know, the broadcast team Tuesday, I was saying that, you know, Roby's got like a 7'2" wingspan or something like that. When you have arms that long, you're just able to do so much more. Plus, he can jump out of the gym. We've seen some of his highlight reel dunks that he's had, you know, over the course. You know, again, we've been keeping it relatively recent with that winning streak, you know, up until the Illinois game. But he's, man, he's got springs for legs and I don't know. I almost want to say go-go gadget arms, but, you know, like Stretch Armstrong arms. He
right.
plays so much bigger than he stands. And he's been so good on both sides of the of the floor, so disruptive on the defensive side, and like we mentioned, you know, the ability to, you know, get the team extra chances on the offensive glass, or you know, dish out some assists and just be that team player. I was looking at him a couple of years ago, thinking that he might be the star, but not taking
and
anything
he will be next year.
Yeah, and absolutely not taking anything away from you know, trying to diminish his light or anything. He's not quite there yet, but he's doing so much this season to be the, you know, the support system, if you will. I've got so much good stuff to say about Roby and his progression, because he has, like I said, he's really turned the corner. He's figured it out.
Yep. No question about it. He's the second leading rebounder on the team. I was wrong on the assist. He's not second on the team. He's fourth, but he's proved himself capable. But he's turned into, I mean, next year he will be on everybody's conversation and list of preseason all-conference player, dark horse for player of the year candidate, you know, those kinds of lists. He will be in those conversations, even if Palmer comes back, and I have no reason to believe he won't. So, he's turned into an absolute stud. I mean, and that's, you know, that length that you talk about, reason why the 1-3-1 defense has been so effective, because he's not the only player with, you know, wingspan that's taller than their height. You know, Palmer has like a 6'11 wingspan for his 6'7 frame. And so, I mean, guys like that are what have really turned this team into the team that we all hoped it would be at the beginning of the year. Whether most of us, you know, most of us didn't believe that it would be, but sure enough, here we are. So a little bit more work to do, but they're getting there.
I posed this question to Patrick Gerhart in last week's episode, talking about James Palmer Jr. If he didn't play, and I phrased it in a similar way, because I love the kid, I'm glad that he's in Lincoln, but if he played for another team, one of the more traditional Big Ten powerhouse teams, and was having the kind of year mm-hmm. that he's having, would he be more forward at the top of the list of the player of the year discussions, or is it is the fact that he's in Lincoln, you know, affecting the postseason accolades a little bit, or am I overthinking that a little bit?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, fair enough.
Trying to think. I mean, the guys. I mean, if you look at the guys who are included on that list, you really can't argue with any of them, right? You know, Cade Biggs, DeApp in Ohio State, Vince Edwards in Purdue, Miles Bridges at Michigan State, Isaac Hossett. I mean, none of those guys. They all deserve to be on the list, mm-hmm. and so I'm not too upset about him not being there over those guys, but he's right there. So, I mean, if he's not first team, he'll be second team. I'm not going to get too worked up over that. I just know that I am glad he's on my team, and I'm not trading him for any of those guys.
Right.
So, like Palmer is fifth leading scorer in the conference right now. But that's like the only place that he's on the leaderboard. So, I don't think it's an injustice that he's not in that top five, but if he's not in the top 10, then you're going to have some speaks with somebody. So, I guess that's why I come down on it.
Let's talk a little bit. Tomorrow's game is the regular season finale, Penn State.
Yep, and Sunday, actually.
Yeah, but since this drops on Saturday, then it's going to be tomorrow.
I apologize. Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow we will be.
I think Husker Hoops on Twitter. I think it was them. It might have been just Nebraska Huskers on Twitter, but they, you know, made the comment of, you know, it seems like a good Sunday to stand, you know, something like that. So, mm-hmm. so they're preparing for a no sit Sunday. I think that's fantastic, because we have seen there are so many positive reviews about Pinnacle Bank Arena, the Vault. You know, it is becoming a very difficult place to play, you know, for Big Ten yep. opponents. And when you can add, I mean, there's so much on the line. If you think about it, you want to avenge the loss, you know, that Penn State loss was the last loss before the little bit of a winning streak there. Then you want to, you know, solidify your your top tier place in the Big Ten. Top four, yeah. I think that's what I said. Anyway, you want to solidify that double bye for the Big Ten tournament, and a win can do that. But also you want to help your chances for the NCAA tournament as well, and to do that against a good Penn State team. So much going on. There's no reason to be, you know, sitting on Sunday at Pinnacle Bank Arena. I don't care how many people have an aqua colored hair around, you know, the blue hairs. Kidding.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I know you are, but you know, there. This is what, you know, it. This is what Nebraska basketball fans have been waiting for, this type of excitement this late in the season. Yeah. I mean, this is it. There's so much on the line on tomorrow, Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm all up for standing up, so hopefully other people will join with me. So let's bring it. Yeah, loud. Let's not have any voice up and show up to work on Monday morning.
As we look at the standings as they are, as we record this Friday afternoon, obviously Nebraska is fourth at the moment, tied with Michigan as far as conference. Both have 12-5 records. Nebraska does have the tiebreaker because of that nice 20-point win. I love saying that 20-point win over Michigan. Michigan does have the better overall record. Basically, I mean, if Michigan wins, Nebraska has to win. If Michigan loses,
right,
some of the pressure is off, but you don't ever want to leave it in someone else's hands. I mean, you want to go out there and handle business. And this is a Penn State team that is sixth in the conference. Excuse me. They're 19-11 overall, 9-8, and they're not playing. I mean, they've lost two in a row. They have a same conference record as the team that Nebraska just beat, Indiana, and you get to, like I said, you get the opportunity to avenge the loss that was in overtime on a last second shot. You get to try to take care of business on the home court. I don't want to make a prediction, but I could foresee a nice big red win.
I think so, and it doesn't hurt that the guy that just destroyed Nebraska lots of times they play them is out in Mike Watkins. You hate to see a guy out with injury, but he's not going to play on Sunday. That helps. I fully expect regardless of what happens, because we'll know before the game what Nebraska needs to do, whether they need that win for the fourth spot or not. We'll know that about lunchtime Saturday. So by shortly after this drops, we'll know what Michigan does against Maryland on Saturday afternoon. So, I'm fully expecting it to be a loud, raucous place. It's the last time we'll get, hopefully the last time we'll see them in Pinnacle Bank Arena this year. And I think that the team, they've played so well at home all year. They really seem to feed off the energy of the crowd, and I expect that to be the case on Sunday. And, I agree with you. I think that I foresee a fun afternoon and early evening down in the rail yard. As the Huskers finish up the regular season. And I think that's not to say Penn State can't win, because they're a really talented basketball team, even without Watkins. And so the Huskers are going to have to bring everything they got. But I think I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a fun afternoon in PBA Sunday afternoon. So
isn't it just amazing the type of success they've had at home this year? The only loss coming to Kansas by a point. And, Nebraska fans overall, Nebraska athletics fans tend to kind of forget about that one because we were so hyped up for the volleyball match.
Oh,
that
I don't
night.
Forget about it. I was there. I haven't forgotten about that one.
And it still stinks because I remember, didn't they put the volleyball match on right after and people could stay in the vault there?
Sure did. I was there for that too. It was fun. I mean, that was fun. And the basketball game was fun too, except for the last, I don't know, 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
but that's the only loss that the Nebraska has suffered at home this
right.
year. What a statement! They have made. It's almost like I'm trying to. I don't want to sound corny or overly poetic, but it's almost like the way they've played at home is in appreciation of the fans. Thank you for coming out. We're going to give you a hell of a show because they were, like you said, 10, 12, 3 seconds, away from being undefeated at home. And obviously one game left to play, but no reason with how they have played, except for that, little slip up in Champaign, no reason to not finish strong and have that double bye. I got to ask you this question, David, because I asked Patrick as well. Maybe I didn't ask him, but it came up in our conversation, and I'd like to hear your take on it in the final minutes here. If Nebraska is, one of those teams that doesn't make it to the tournament, Would they be better served by a strong showing in the NIT than a bad seed in the tournament? And I guess that's probably how I should phrase it. Would they be better served by a strong showing in the NIT versus a lower seed and a first game out, against a tough opponent in the NCAA tournament?
No.
Okay. You think,
no, I'm of the opinion that any time the NCAA tournament is always preferable.
Okay.
And so I mean, at this point you played 30 whatever together, so you're not going to gain anything from playing a couple. It's not like football where you get a month to practice and work on stuff and hone skills and all right. that and come together. They've already shown that they're a close knit group, so that's not going to change anything. But NIT does not. The NCAA tournament is what programs are measured by.
Sure.
They're not measured by how many NITs you go to. You're measured by how many times you've been to the NCAA tournament and what have you done there. And so the Huskers, you need to knock on that NCAA tournament door as many times as you can. And, I mean, it's not like the NIT would be like the worst thing in the world, because obviously it wouldn't. But if you're asking me first four loss in the NCAA tournament or a one seed in the NIT and a chance to go on a run there, I'm going to take the first four loss every time and look back. So that's my thoughts on that.
All right. No, that's great. And the answer was a little different than what Patrick stated last week,
sure.
but that's all right, because that's why we have different viewpoints, different ways of looking at things. And
there you go.
And hey, as we mentioned, we let it slip earlier, a little peek behind the curtain. We are recording this Friday afternoon because I had a surprisingly and welcome short day at work. But David, you do not. So I've got to let you go, let you get back to work as we record this. And folks, just a quick reminder that you can, again, check this out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. David, I want to... thank you for your time, man. And I hate that I got to let you go and send you back to work.
I know, man. This was fun.
They don't do it
for another half an hour.
They're right. They don't stop sending bills in the mail, do they?
I wish they did.
Yeah, me too. All right. That's David McGee. I'm Greg Mahochko, reminding you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
Win the damn game.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.